It's not doom and gloom. It's actually a way to bring happiness to your life, because everything is about health. If you don't have health, you don't have anything. There's a lot of very wealthy people that are dying of disease because of their lifestyle and what they're choosing to do.
Yep.
Money doesn't buy you your health. Education and knowledge and application of that knowledge is what helps us to become healthier.
That was John Joseph, lead singer of Blood Clot, author of The PMA Effect and Meat is for Pussies, a plant-based Ironman athlete, and in today's episode, Helping Others with the PMA, John and I are going to be discussing these upcoming books, what he's doing to stay sane on the bike and in the studio, and how everybody needs to know about human trafficking. This is the Running Educator Podcast.
My purpose of this podcast is basically, you know, helping others. And then I kind of thought about it, like, I'm going to help others with PMA, because that's a lot of what you have taught me through your books and everything else. So, you know, I wanted to kind of go through your books first. And first of all, tell me a little bit more about Meat is for Pussies and give me your, you know, your stance on that. I wanted to kind of take the two things that I took away from it, but
yeah. Well, you know, it's tongue in cheek, man. It's HarperCollins. We put the book out ourselves, did about 5,000 copies, and then HarperCollins picked it up, and which is, you know, a huge, you know, publisher. So basically, I was like, you know, you want to tone the book down a little bit, change the title. They were like, no.
Yeah,
I want you to be disruptive, and you got to be you, man. We love what you do. And then, like,
yeah,
when the book came out and the vegan feminists attacked, they basically cut ties with me and threw me under the fucking bus. They wanted me to start apologizing and sending letters to. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm not doing that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the interesting fact is these people are just a small demographic, but, you know, they, because of the Me Too thing and everything, they've managed to basically, like, you know, do some damage as far as, like, you know, book sales, and went down fucking just following everything I do and then reaching out to those people, like Lululemon campaign I had and just everything. And documentary films I was in, and yeah, and saying they're going to protest if I do the Q&A for, like, fucking Cowspiracy or whatever the fuck, like, in New York, which I set the premiere up for the dude. Like, he's my friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, you know, they did the same thing to Rory Freeman, who wrote Skinny Bitch, because she said, you know, Skinny Bitch, like, you know.
Yeah,
they have no kind of sense of humor or anything about anything. And, you know, but the book basically, you know, I think about 80% of all the copies that were purchased by women who bought it for their dude who, you know, refused to change and didn't like the way that any of the other, you know, I don't call myself a vegan, but, you know, what these people that promote this whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
How they were putting it. And, you know, I come from the streets of New York, so I just put it in my tone and vernacular, and fucking they've been eating it up, you know. Yeah. And I even went on when I was on Joe Rogan's podcast, that was like one of the first things. He's like, yeah, vegan. I'm like, I don't call myself a vegan. He goes, yeah, but you wrote the book Meat is for Pussies, man. What the fuck? I'm like, yeah, but dude, it's like, you know, it's when you break open the cover, the first thing I say is that, you know, it's saying that someone will be, you know, a feeble human being if they continue to lead a lifestyle, a sedentary lifestyle, eating all this poisonous food. There's companies that have a direct, and I'm writing about this now in my new book. I just really fucking went down the rabbit hole and researched all these companies that put all these medications out, and they also sell chemicals that cause the diseases that they're selling the meds for, and Monsanto and all these,
yep,
you know, people that are these fucking scumbag companies that are doing this shit and poisoning people. You know, the real global pandemic is what these motherfuckers is doing, you know, to our health.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's the 21st century health apocalypse. Mm. You know, what's the number one killer in America is heart disease. Heart disease, like, yeah. You know, yeah. They know what's causing it. If you watch Forks Over Knives, then, mm-hmm. you know, anyway, the book's just a great reference point that allows other people to, you know, go down the rabbit hole and continue their research. And I've gotten thousands of, you know, emails and people hit me up saying they changed and they lost weight, reversed disease and all kinds of stuff. Even one friend had inoperable brain cancer, sent them down the rabbit hole to do all this stuff. They gave him 6 months to live. Well, guess what? Last year he ran a half marathon and he beat his cancer by eliminating the poisons out of the body. Cancer is a way of the body saying, hey, man, stop what the fuck you're doing, man. Yeah. Something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. You know, your DNA is being ruined by free radicals and the rest of the stuff that people are ingesting. It's good to be able to. I'm not a doctor, but I point people in the direction of those that are doctors and have credentials. So that's what I do.
Yeah, no, and I, you know, that's the thing I love about you is that you don't, you know, you're not stigmatized by that word vegan, right? You correct people, you influence them positively, you know, and send them in that right direction. But the thing I took away from your book was, you know, the animal's perspective, tighter truth. And I never really thought of it that way. Like the chemicals of the fear that, and I kind of researched a little bit about that, like the fear that we get when we're in like a survival state and the chemicals that our body produces, and then you put it in that animal, and then you put on top of it the other chemicals that they're injecting in that animal. It's just a double compounding negative.
Yeah. There's three main questions we have to ask to every single thing that we consume, you know, in terms of eating or just as stuff we use in our house or wear or whatever. And it is, what is it doing to our health? What is it doing to the planet? And what living entities will harm to produce this food? That's mm-hmm. intelligence. That's what human beings need to have. We don't just blindly consume things.
Nope.
And in that section, I posted a whole thing about a person who worked in a slaughterhouse and what he witnessed. And he's like, these animals know they're going to die. They're fighting with every fiber of their being to survive. You know, it's like they're just a horrible, I just couldn't. You know, when I got hip to this in 80 and then finally made the whole switch in 81, it was like I couldn't support this stuff anymore. Yeah. So once I knew the details, there's a film from Frederick Weissman. He made Titty Cut Follies, and then he did this movie, and I think it was 76, called Meat. And he's not even vegan or anything. It wasn't like an activist film. He just took you through the whole process. Mm-hmm. Like the film opened up with like a close up on a horse, and it was cold and the steam was coming out of the horse's nostrils, right? Mm-hmm. And then he pulls back, you see there's a cowboy on the horse. He pulls back further, there's other cowboys on other horses. He pulls back further, they're herding cows into the trucks to the slaughterhouse, you know? Man. So, and it just took you through the whole process, and I'm like, you know, they don't want people to see this stuff. That's why they've actually passed legislation that it's a felony to film these activities that's going on in slaughterhouses or any of this stuff, mm-hmm. because like it would do damage to the industry, just like the Texas beef industry. When Howard Lyman, who wrote The Mad Cowboy, was on Oprah, and he mm-hmm. told her exactly what they're feeding these cows, how they're treated. And she said, I'll never eat another hamburger as long as I live.
Right.
Well, there was an uproar there. And mm-hmm. I don't forget how many millions of dollars she had to spend in lawyer fees down there. But, you know, you can't say anything, especially person of her stature as far as, you know, her ability to, you know, people just do whatever she says.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now she's rebranded Weight Watchers into WW, and she's fucking selling this poison You know, they're like, so many people are consuming this crap,
right?
Because this calorie restriction stuff, you know, you lose weight at what cost? You know, skinny people get cancer and heart attacks as well. So
You look at like Bob Harper. I mean, one of the fittest guys in the world, or whatever. But look what he was eating. I mean, look what he's putting in his
body.
But
here's the deal with him. I met him at Angelica Kitchen when he was plant-based. He was plant-based. He don't tell people this shit. See, this
is
the devil's in the details. That motherfucker was plant-based.
Really? Right?
He went back to eating fucking meat, making all the excuses that all these fucking mamalouk celebrities make, just like, you know, whatever.
Right.
And he got his heart attack after he went back to eating meat.
Oh, man.
Okay? That's you don't see him saying that shit. Now he's on advertising fucking, you know, drugs to stop platelets from building up to
produce. Yeah.
Like, dude, just fucking stay plant-based. It's a proven fact. The only diet on the planet to not only prevent but actually reverse heart disease is a whole food plant-based diet. That has been proven scientifically, medically. The evidence is fucking there. Yep. But people, this is a pill society.
Yeah.
What we have is not health care. We have sick care.
Mm-hmm.
They have violated the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, these doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell people, ask that motherfucking doctor what he had or she had to eat the whole last week, everything, every meal. And therein lies the problem. They get 2 hours of nutritional training in the 8 years it takes them to become a doctor.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Wow. That's crazy.
Whole system of medicine is not based. It's based on treating with pills.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you know, nobody's going to tell me shit because I've been researching this for 40 years now and watching what's going on, watching, you know, all the stuff that's gone on with the chemical companies producing this shit and then getting into pharmaceuticals and just the whole issue that's going down. So this next book, you know, I got 2 books coming out. And one of them is about this whole issue, everything A to Z, how to do plant-based the right way, what to watch out for, preventative medicines. Cool. And then I have a cookbook to follow up with that because, like, you know, and it tells people, how do you eat this in a food desert? Everyone says, oh, it's so expensive to do this. No, it ain't. If you know what you're doing, you know, there's if you go on the forksoverknives.com, there's a section how to do plant-based for $5 a day, man. So like people, you know.
No, it's amazing that you even say that just because, like, you know, 6 months ago, I was probably 20 plus pounds overweight, taking 4 pills for anxiety, depression, just totally. And I was like, fuck, dude, I can't live like this. I don't want to live like this. And so.
Quality of life.
Yeah. And so ironically, you know, I picked up Ritual, you know, Finding Ultra, and he led me to you, and really the PMA effect just really, that changed my life. And I read PMA first and then I went to Meat for Pussies, and I wish.
Wow. You know, well, that's cool. It just solidifies like everything everybody's saying. It's a mindset and diet and all this stuff is tied in because I just said, you know, somebody just accused me, oh, you're fucking doom and gloom. And I had to say yesterday, I go, look, man, what you don't understand is by me hipping you to this shit of this Roundup and this glyphosate and all this other stuff, what I'm actually doing is preventing you from becoming unhappy and miserable. It's actually because when you consume all this stuff, your health is going to go in the fucking toilet. And I'm sorry, I've seen people take their lives from being unhealthy and just throwing their hands up and giving up. But there's hope for motherfuckers. And that's what I try to tell people is like, look, man, it's not doom and gloom. It's actually a way to bring happiness to your life because everything is about health. If you don't have health, you don't have anything. There's a lot of very wealthy people that are dying of disease because of their lifestyle and what they're choosing to do.
Yep.
Money doesn't buy you your health. Education and knowledge and application of that knowledge is what helps us to become healthier. And I just have my friend Hoya. He's the bass player. I'm writing this whole thing yesterday about this exact issue in the book because I'm going through getting it ready for the editor. And he texts me and he goes, yo, I'm paying attention to what you're doing. And he sends me a text message of a photo of all this fucking like organic food. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then he lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
You know, and he has sleep apnea and all this stuff from being overweight. The results are there, just like with you. You know, you can get off these meds. You have to understand something, man. This is a never ending fucking cycle. You're on a fucking hamster wheel with this shit that you're never gonna get off, because once they get you on one drug, then it's another drug and another drug and another drug. All the research now with Dr. Esselstyn is proving that actually Alzheimer's and the rest of these neurological problems that arise are coming from the body giving off thousands and thousands of mini strokes on the brain because of what we're eating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then, you know, people get Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and then they have to start taking all these drugs, and those drugs lead depression, then they're going to give you depression pills and all this stuff. It's like, dude, stop the fucking, remember that woman, stop the insane.
Yes, see, exactly.
Crazy, bro.
Yeah, no, I do. I was just like, man, have you been sitting in on my doctor's, like, you know, waiting room? Because like, seriously, like, well, hey, you know, it's just amazing what you can get from your doctor. Like, hey, let's try this. Let's do this. You know, I felt like not only a hamster on the wheel, right? But I felt like a guinea pig. Like, well, yeah, fuck, I don't know if this is going to work, you know? Yeah. And so, and like you said, in your book, like, your body responds differently to different chemicals and different pills. And so, yeah, you know, and I was like, why would I want to put this toxic stuff in me? And why not, much like in the Forks Over Knives, when they were talking about, you know, reversing the coronary artery disease and whatnot, yeah, and how the plant-based was helping, instead of putting the stent into the heart, you know, valves or heart arteries, it was repairing it through eating. I was like, that's magical.
And what it is, Dr. Esselstyn said, you know, Caldwell Esselstyn said, people think this is such a radical thing, but he's like, what's more radical than like cracking your chest open like a walnut and taking a vein out of your leg and sewing it into your heart for bypass surgery? And I'll tell you something else too. This is another thing you have to, you know, there was a great book, because like, I've researched this shit for years. There was a great book that came out, Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. Just blanking on who wrote it. It was a woman who wrote it. She was a big, huge pharmaceutical rep. And then her niece took her life from these medications she was on, and she came out against them. Well, she proved that these doctors are getting paid to fucking, these doctors are getting paid to prescribe these medications. As a matter of fact, Humira, which is the number one drug right now sold in the world, and I just went down the rabbit hole on Humira and who makes it, these companies. It all traces back to chemical companies who put these things out that ruin our gut health. When gut health, as Dr. Zach Bush proved on the Rich Roll podcast, when you destroy the gut biome, every fucking thing else stems from that. So here you have these fucking dangerous chemicals and pesticides getting released, eating it into your fucking food. And then it's causing all these issues. And then they turn around with this subsidiary, this other company, because the company that makes Humira was once owned by BASF, which is a German fucking chemical company, right? Mm-hmm. They make all these poison chemicals. So Humira got sued because they had doctors over-prescribing fucking Humira, paying them to do so in California.
Right.
They actually made $20 billion last year off Humira. And guess how much they settled the lawsuits for? $20
million. Oh, so
wow. So there you go. That's the game being played.
Right.
Okay? And think about when something says FDA approved, what the fuck that means. That does not mean shit, because look at all the drugs that were put out there by the FDA, right? FDA approved to be recalled. And what does the pharmaceutical companies do? They make billions of dollars and then they settle for pennies on the dollar. So that's the game being played. And we're the suckers.
Yeah.
Like P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute and two to take them. In this case, there's a sucker born every minute and there's 10 fucking pharmaceutical companies to take them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the amount of money that is being spent and made, and then the amount of lives that correlates with that. You know what I mean?
Dude, this is the real global pandemic. People don't understand this. Yeah. They're talking to, listen, no disrespect to the 100 and some odd thousand lives that were lost due to COVID in the United States this year. But guess what? Can't even come close to the amount of people that died from heart disease or fucking type 2 diabetes or any of these other diseases that are fucking life and food choice driven disease.
Yeah. With like the correlation with, you know, Tyson and the food industry with like, you know, even, you know, Susan Komen and her run for cancer.
Oh, dude, and all that. Pink washing. Give me a fucking break. Dude. I've talked about that in Meeting Some Pussies, and people don't even have a clue to the shit that's going on.
I was like, wow, I want to go in there and run it and just like, you know.
There's a great documentary called The Idiot Cycle. And I suggest that everybody that fucking is listening to this, go watch that fucking movie, man. Because it's the cancer fucking hustle. They ain't never going to cure cancer, Biden. Oh, we're going to cure cancer now and I become president. You ain't curing shit, homie, because cancer is a fucking business.
Yep.
And why would they possibly cure one of the biggest profiting fucking sicknesses in the fucking history of the world? But the cancer cure is there. It's not contained in fucking chemo and all the rest of the shit that they're poisoning people with.
Yeah.
I mean, if I got cancer, I would never take that shit. I would go to Hippocrates Health Center or one of these places and fast and get plenty of sun. And hey, man, if I'm going to die, which we all are going to fucking die, nobody's going to live forever, but at least let me go out with some dignity and quality of fucking life. Not. I've seen people die from chemo and radiation. Mm-hmm. My uncle was one of them.
Yep.
He just died last year, Vietnam veteran. And, you know, fucking, it was horrible what the fuck they did to him, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sadly, you have people who take it serious and make that switch and say, hey, you know, I'm going to give this a try.
Yeah.
You know, in my friend's case, the doctor said it's an inoperable brain tumor. There's nothing we do in his research, man. It worked for him. I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody, but, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's the main key. You just got to kind of tinker with it and go from there. You know, I lost my stepdad, same thing. My stepdad and my mom both passed away from cancer, but mostly it was due from smoking or whatever. So, but it was interesting that when my stepdad was going through his chemo, like he was so warped, like he didn't know what was reality or what was not. And that was really kind of like, he honestly looked at me and said,
frying your fucking brain.
Yeah.
Baking your fucking brain.
Yeah.
Like they came out with this whole thing that's a refrigerated helmet that you wear on your fucking brain when you're getting chemo and radiation afterwards because your brain is being fucking cooked.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked at me and he was like, Michael, I don't know if I'm in like another dimension or another world. And I mean, it was an honest question. And we were, you know, a couple feet away and I was like, it is.
I'm
and
telling
so,
you
know,
right now, with the way in 40 years, 30 years, they're going to look at how they treated fucking people for disease nowadays. And they're going to be like, holy shit, what a barbaric fucking system of medicine.
It's a slaughter.
And the fact of the matter is, who is controlling government policy for all of this stuff?
Yeah.
And it's the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies, those industries and lobbyists are the most powerful fucking lobbyists in the United States of America.
Yeah.
They're controlling this fucking government. And you just see by the fucking reaction to COVID what's going down. I'm sorry, I watched the news. Dr. Fauci takes 15,000 milligrams, I believe he said, you know, before this whole thing to help for the last 6 months. I did not see one single doctor or healthcare professional who was on mainstream media say, hey, keep your immune system strong.
Wow.
It's like talking about the immune system became a fucking conspiracy theory in 2020. So what do? They told everybody the exact opposite of what you should be doing. They didn't talk about diet. They said, stay inside, wear a mask, do this, do that.
Yep.
Watch TV nonstop, stress, producing cortisol, which breaks down your immune system. It's like, I did the exact opposite. I went outside. in the fucking sun. I got vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
I strengthened my immune system by uptaking zinc and vitamin C. I ate more raw foods and juices. Mm-hmm. I didn't wear a mask outside because I socially distanced. I did their 6 feet thing, whoever the hell came up with that. What, it's not 6 feet, 6 inches. It's six.
Yeah.
I did all of that. Mm-hmm. You know what? And sorry, but I helped build and strengthen my immune system. I took oregano oil. I took, you know, herbs, turmeric, zinc. Turmeric, ginger, all this stuff to help. But here's the thing, you know, the immune system's like a muscle, right? So what do you do when you go to the gym? You fucking work out. You build the muscles so that when you need that bicep to fucking pull down something, or you need that shoulder to push something up, or your back muscles, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So the immune system is like a muscle. Yeah. You have to let it do its job. That's what it's there to do.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, what they're saying now is like most of these cases, even of the COVID stuff, which I don't want to get into.
Nope. Different podcast.
You know, too deep here, but like it was people with pre-existing conditions and the elderly and all this stuff, but you know, that's why I don't take any flu shots or any of that stuff. I let my immune system do the job that I'm paying it to do. Yeah. I'm paying my immune system by all of the meditation, the internal work, the good food. I avoid drugs, alcohol, smoking, all of that. I avoid dealing with shitty people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to anyway. You live in New York.
But doesn't matter. You're going to run into that.
Give them a verbal fucking slap and send them on their fucking way. You know, 20 years ago, they would have got beat down, but I can't be like that anymore. Point is, I'm investing in my immune system.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I do.
No, and I think there's some truth on that. Like, what was it? There's like 75% of your serotonin to help with, you know, depression is in the stomach, and just activating the stomach is the trick, right? And then 85% of your immune system is in the stomach. Again, getting it active. And I've actually read up, you know, going through meditation and the chakras and everything and activating your body that way, I mean, has been just and I'm still going through it. And it's just been a mind changing, you know.
Well, you know, they even started implementing in some of the more woke hospitals that actually feed patients plant-based diets to help heal after surgery. They also get them to do some quiet meditation time because it's been proven to speed up the healing process.
Wow.
So, you know, this stuff's been around for thousands of years. It's just, you know, all of these problems that we're having started at the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, because look what we did to the food. Look what we did to everything. We thought the answers was in machines. The answers, machines are there to help us, but they're not the answer. They can help us.
Yeah.
You know, like we're talking on Zoom right now. That's a great fucking thing, dude. This is going to go out and reach people and stuff like that. But those machines can also be, they can be machines created to do destructive fucking things too, man. You know?
Yeah.
So
let's switch it over to PMA effect. You know, I can't tell you how grateful I am to read that book. And I listened to the audiobook and I listened. I'm still listening to it. And, I'm listening to it for the second time just because I'm going back and getting a whole different perspective because of the rabbit hole, the depression, suicidal place that I was at. And, you know,
well, thank God you worked through that, man. And you have a glow in your eyes. And what you see now is people, they're so sullen and devoid of life. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, man.
No. And that's where I, you know, a lot of the, you know, the semicolon project and suicide, you know, awareness is what I'm really about. I work in the healthcare profession. So, you know, for mental health and students with addiction and mental health issues. So very very passionate about what I do. But, you know, the PMA effect, you know, I just started running again and, you know, getting my times up and working my way and getting off of medicines and introducing more healthier foods and sleep. Yeah. You know, I never would have thought I would be like, fuck, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. I'm like, no way. I'm sleeping in. You know, I used to say, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. was, we're sleeping, farting and dreaming. That was it. And I was like, But, you know, thanks to you to show me like getting up, being productive, having a mission, a purpose, and redefining
yourself. Every day. Look, I tell you, man, look, all my shit is written down, man. Yeah. You know, like yeah. I got my board right here. I know what, but I mean, let's just look at Rich Roll's story, right? Yeah. You know, the fucking Finding Ultra, just mm-hmm. read that book and what he, you know, there's a guy, he's a lawyer, he's fucking making all this money, he's fucking, yep. you know, living the fucking American dream, but is it really? He was living the American nightmare because yeah. he had a fucking heart attack, basically walking up a flight of fucking stairs, and
yeah. yep.
went from being a collegiate swimmer to like this fat fucking dude, you know, who, I got, what did he call it? The pull-up diet?
If you the window. Window diet, yeah.
The yep. window, he yep. fucking ate it. And this is,
yeah.
you know, listen, man, I got 40 years of traveling across the fucking globe with my band and speaking engagements and all the rest of the shit, training and Ironmans and stuff that I do all over the world traveling. And this is happening everywhere. It doesn't have to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're an example. I'm an example. Rich Roll's an example. We can overcome all this stuff.
Yeah.
And mental health is... You know, that's why I wrote the PMA effect, because people just kept saying to me, hey, man, I was giving out so much advice on the daily. Somebody's like, yo, you should compile all this shit in a book. And sadly, I can't remember who the fuck told me to do that. But thank you very much for the person, right. because it inspired me. I started writing down the lessons that I've learned. And like I said, I ain't no rocket scientist. I didn't come up with this shit. Like, but what I did was I learned from very wise men and women mm-hmm. by their example. And that's, to me, example, like my spiritual teacher Prabhupada said, example's better than precept. All you have these days is people talking shit all over the internet and mm-hmm. fucking social media. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Bragging this, that. Fuck all that lip service, man. I look to see what people do, how they treat other people, how they in yeah. fact live their lives. Yep. Those are the examples that I mm-hmm. want to see. You know, I got a good buddy who's a Navy SEAL, and what do they say? The best leaders lead from the front. Yeah. They're setting the example for everybody, and that's what we need nowadays is mm-hmm. people that set the example. And that's, to me, I was like, the book was very important to write, because like I said, I'm not cured of all my fucking shit. I'm just in remission right now. I'm a work in progress.
Right.
But every day I wake up, I beat the enemy mind with a stick.
Yep.
And, you know, and I get after it every single day. You know, Rich Roll just had, I forget who it was, he had some doctor on there, and they discussed that mood follows action.
Yeah.
It's not that you're in the right mood and then you take, that's bullshit. You take action and the mood follows. People yeah. have it reversed. They're waiting yeah. for the golden moment. The golden moment don't fucking happen.
It's not going to come slap you in the face. That's for sure. You know,
yeah, you got to get after it on yeah. the daily. Yeah. There's so many great like little chapters, Wake Your Best Wolf and all this rest yeah. of this shit that I use these analogies of wolves or,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, how they get up hungry, man. And, you know,
yeah. Yeah. No, that,
miles to find a meal.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you're not seeking, you know, not necessarily seek and destroy, but you're not trying your best. And I agree with you being, you know, the best person I can be for today. I'm in the moment today. I'm in the present right now. I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm learning, and I can't wait to give yeah. my experiences to the next person. So that way I can pay it forward to help the other person or the next person. But I do, from the bottom of my heart, want to say thank you so much for your PMA effect. It is.
Oh, thank you, man.
Just,
changed. As you can see, I sit here with the book right here and fucking crack it. I go like this, and I just open it up, and then it's like, you can't expect overnight success because it doesn't work that way. We are so hard-headed and stuck in our ways. Our conditioning runs so deep that it just takes time to change, perhaps even an entire lifetime. So there it like, is.
You Today's know, mantra. Today's mantra.
Fucking game. I just open it up. I'm like, all right, what is it today? Maybe it's a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Maybe it's somebody, yeah. you know, David Goggins talking about don't have poopy pants and kick rocks. Stay hard, motherfucker. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's you know, there's so many amazing people out there now that yes. are just doing amazing things. And to me, it's those who put themselves out there and make themselves vulnerable in order to help other people. And that they're the real rock stars.
Yeah. And I think that's what I've kind of learned from you. And I just even this podcast, it's like, hey man, I'm putting this out. I don't throw my balls on the table and say, hey, can you come join me for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes of your time? Hey. And just, I want to hear your story. I want to connect with you. I want to learn from you. And that's the one thing I've definitely learned from you is, and I admire you because like I said, somebody calls you a vegan, you correct them right then and there. No. And then you explain. And I like that because most people will be like, you know, forget you and I'm done. Right. But, you know, you take the time to say, you know what, you know, I'm not vegan. I'm plant-based. And let me tell you why. And that's what people need to have.
See, here's the thing though, is that I follow all the tenets of that. Every single thing that I do in my life technically is vegan. I just refuse to call myself that.
Yeah.
And, it's just for certain reasons and whatever,
and I, like I said, it's, I got my kid, my 12-year-old son reading the PMA effect and you know, and it's like, dude, if you want to learn anything in life, here's the chapter book right here. So, but, moving on to your tours and Ironmans. I mean, how's music going? How's that life? I mean, how's that affected you?
Everything was canceled, obviously,
right.
Because of, this COVID thing and, my tours were canceled. My races were all canceled this year. But here's the thing. I didn't let that, spin me into a mental hell. I just kept busy and okay, this is what it is. We have to accept things. Okay.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is what the situation is.
Yep.
I'm not going to fucking bug out. Let me take that same energy and apply it to other things. So I got both my books done. I'm writing a new album.
Nice.
I still train. I actually did a week-long training camp in Jamaica. I went down there. I was putting in like fucking 5-mile swims, 20-mile runs every fucking day and
good for you.
Eating good and doing whatever. So like, you got to work with where you're at and what's available and, see what happens, for next year as far as the racing. And, I don't put all my eggs in one basket, so to speak, because like, there's so many people that were like, everything to them is Ironman and if I can't race.
Right.
That's not me. I got all this other shit going on. So it's like,
I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know how you do it.
I get up early and I work hard all day. And, I'm actually in school now to become a life coach. So I have classes fucking for the next 8 weeks.
Sweet.
And I'm becoming a certified life coach just because like, I'm already doing it and I could start.
Dude, I'll sign up.
Kind of hustle and get another side hustle. But being accredited to do that is important because anybody could say, yeah, I'm a trainer, but my girl is NASM. She's National Academy of Sports Medicine. So it's like, you have to have the certification to really be taken serious in serious circles, so I'm doing that. I'm working on a new album. I'm still training. I'm going to run a fucking 10K and go to the gym when I get off of this. Mm-hmm. And I just allocated that same time to doing other things and staying positive, increased meditation and, cooking at home, which saved me a ton of money. Cause when all the restaurants were open, my girl was like, do you understand how much money you spend going out? And then I would take that I would spend $50 and then like you spend that $50 and you could eat three meals of organic food for two people fucking for the entire day.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I just, like I said, one of the statements I kept making was that if you didn't get your shit done during this time, you didn't have a lack of time. You had a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Because you weren't disciplined enough. You're out there, fucking arguing politics or wearing masks or all this shit. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit, man. Like I'm dealing with what I have control over. And what I have control over is my mental health, my physical health, mm-hmm. how I treat other people, what I'm doing for my life. And that's what I focused on since March, because New York was the epicenter of the fucking globe with this shit. It was like a ghost town. It was fucking insane. Eerie.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's where it's at, you know, that's what I'm doing. So
nice. I signed up for, we have a race called the Bogus 50-50, which is a 50K 50 miler. And, you know, they're all kind of up in the air. And, you know, I'm like, I'm still training. I'm segmenting my stuff. And like, even if it doesn't, I've done so many virtual stuff. Like, I don't, I'm just going to go get my miles in. I got my goal for my miles for the week and trying to get, you know, 140 for the month and, you know, throwing in a bike and whatnot. And so,
you're in Boise, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
they just sent me the registration for Coeur d'Alene and I'm like, fucking for the Ironman.
Oh yeah. Nice. Beautiful place up there. Very, very, very nice.
Yeah, I know, I had all my races deferred, so I got Placid, I got next year, I got, where else? Placid and Maryland Ironman. Wow. I try to do three of them, so, you know, we'll see what the other race will be.
Nice. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of switch gears, go into the food, and the sobriety part, you know, interesting on that when you and I believe another gentleman were on the Ritual podcast, and you guys were talking about sobriety.
Mishka.
Yeah. And so I'm horrible with names, man. I apologize. But, you know, it was interesting to hear you guys kind of came from a different perspective of sobriety. I'm 65 days sober because I was just like, I can't do this anymore. This stuff is just, it's an emotional killer. It's a motivational killer. It's a spiritual killer. And those are the things that have really evolved from that. But I wanted to kind of, you know, just get your perspective, because the other guy was pretty against the, and I don't want to say against, but he just didn't understand the, you know, the 12 steps, which I don't think I'm on that. I mean, I have a little bit of that, but I, you know.
That's not for everybody. Everybody, right. You know, everybody has their path. He wasn't, you know, Mishka wasn't for it. Rich Roll was. I didn't get clean and sober that way. I did it through intense internal work on myself, as chanting, meditation. And I honestly believe I came out of a worse situation than both of those two combined, because
exactly. Yes, agreed.
You know, agreed. Like, I wasn't a drunk who destroyed myself. I was a fucking violent crackhead, pillhead, drinker who was robbing dangerous drug dealers, getting fucking shot at, you know, every fucking day I was, my life was at risk. But, you know, in the Vedic teachings, it says that, you know, the four negative principles destroy the four positive, pillars of spiritual life or awareness. And, you know, meat eating destroys compassion.
Yeah.
And intoxication destroys austerity, right? And what is austerity? We undertake a hardship to achieve a higher result.
Right.
The people that are getting fucked up constantly, they don't have that quality of like determination and just drive and motivation.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it as somebody at a pulpit. I'm saying I recognized it for myself. The only thing I cared about was getting that next fucking hit of crack you know, whatever the fuck. So
For me, it was you know, alcohol and one drop to a little bit. And, you know, that motivational, that resilience is what, you know, I've learned, and it's amazing. And I don't know if you want to touch up on this, but I'm more than willing. I had an epiphany. I was listening to the Rich Roll, you know, Ultra, Finding Ultra on Saturday. And he was talking about how his mom and dad were disappointed when he crossed the, his graduation and he went barefoot. Right. And it literally stopped me in my tracks. And I thought about my mom, because I lost her 5 years ago. Right. And like, she wasn't at my graduation. So that whole thing, you know, those perspectives and those life moments before for me would have been like, now it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like it just made it an epiphany, and it made me feel like the sense of my emotions, a sense of my spirituality, and a sense of where I'm at, and the grit and the resilience and the perseverance that I'm thriving and driving on. And it was just a really ho-hum moment. And I shared that with one of my best friends, and Jake Reynolds. And, you know, I called him at 5 a.m. He's like, "What the fuck are you calling me at 5 a.m? And I'm all like, "Dude, you know, I'm just like sobbing. I'm crying my eyes out. Right. And, he's like, "What's wrong? Are you being attacked or something?" I was like, "No, I miss my mom." And, you know, I had this epiphany of what was going on. But before, I just would have just washed it away. And before, I would have just, "I'm just going to go drink myself and forget about it." Right. And mask it. And so, you know, I'm not looking to do that anymore. So,
Well, yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. Like my brothers and my younger brother, you know, we went through real bad things in a foster home for 6 years. And, you know, I dealt with it. My older brother dealt with it. My younger brother chooses to mask that with drugs and alcohol. And he's had, you know, 10 near death experiences. He's been in, just continues to use. Yeah. To mask the pain that's there. And, I mean, I did the same thing, you know, for years and years and years.
Yeah.
All the way back to the 70s of being on the streets, and then, you know, all the rest of the stuff. And even had this like so-called woke period from like 81 all the way to 88, where I was like doing all this positive stuff. And then it just took one situation actually in 87. And I went off the fucking rails, because it opened up all those old wounds that were there. And all the enemy mind needs is a crack in the armor, man. And then it just fucking, it implores its fucking soldiers to fucking just
destroy you.
Fucking dirty, man.
Yeah. And destroys you. Yeah.
And that's what happened. So like, you know, the thing I'd say, intoxication is like, hey, man, I can bet more than likely that if you go out and get hammered on Wednesday night and you're supposed to run Thursday morning, that fucking run's not going to happen. And if it does, it's going to be complete shit.
Yep. Yep.
So, austerity means we have to invest our time, our energy, everything into something to achieve something that's better than where we're at right now.
Sure.
That's what yoga is all about. That's what meditation, that's what the spiritual process, that's what investing in our health, in our mental health, our physical health.
Yep.
But making better communities, better families, all of this stuff requires austerity on our part.
Yeah.
The problem is we live in a microwave society where people expect immediate results. I want to be overnight famous on fucking YouTube or this or that. And a lot of the younger generation, and I'm sure they're going to be like, "Oh, yeah, look at this fucking boomer." I'm like, yeah, you know what my comment is now? My rebuttal, I'm a boomer that could fucking out-train you, out-fucking work you, and you're fucking half of my age. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Boomer can fucking run you into the fucking ground on a daily basis.
Yep.
You should be kicking my fucking ass.
Yeah.
But the problem is everybody is expecting immediate results these days. They don't want to invest the time, the effort, the energy, the money, whatever, into becoming better things. You know, like I just read you the quote. It could take a lifetime.
But John, that's so much work. Why would I want to put that much work into it when I can just, you know, take that shortcuts? And that's the key point right there, taking those shortcuts. And these kids, you know, I work with them in
those shortcuts. Those shortcuts end at a dead end road, man.
Yep. Thank you.
You know, you think, you know, I got a famous story once. We were on tour and we were fucking playing. It was about 20 years ago. We were playing up in Vermont and it was wintertime and it was a fucked up night. We played the gig and then it started sleeting and snowing and really bad. And I told the fucking driver, I said, "Listen, man, stay on the fucking main highway, dude. Do not get off this highway."
Right.
So you know what he did while we were asleep? He went off because the other road took, it was like 45 minutes less time, what he considered a shortcut. Well, guess what? They didn't de-ice that road and we hit black ice.
The van
went off the fucking road, down a ravine, flipped 8 times, crushed the fucking van. Everybody got hurt.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, dude, what are we doing on this road? Oh, yeah. Man, I tried to save 45 minutes fucking time. So there you go with your fucking shortcuts.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, I know we're running out of time, but I want to, you know, validate and kind of get this going. I want to get, after we scaffold up, you know, I wanted people to kind of get an idea of who you are and kind of talk a little bit more, but let's get into the human trafficking and the child trafficking and, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, I've been reading and how grotesque this is and just how silent this, you know, this is horrible. This is awful.
It's incredible. Right now there's 800. I'm working with Our Rescue, Tim Ballard, not working with them, but I've been following him and working to get the word out.
Right.
Tim Ballard was a CIA officer and Homeland Security, whatever, and they weren't allocating him the time to do this, so he actually gave up his position. And if you go Our Rescue or follow him, he hires, as a matter of fact, he hires one of my buddy who's in the SEALs right now is going to go volunteer. He has all special forces guys and law enforcement that work with him. They go around the world, work with the local governments, capture these fucking monsters that are. He just did one raid in the Caribbean and they had like 9-year-old children chained to beds.
Wow.
And it's just fucking like he frees them up and he uses SEALs and Green Berets and just bad motherfuckers to do this shit. And because, you know, these people, this is billions and billions and billions of dollars being made. It's
annual profit is 150 billion.
Yeah.
Annual profit generated from this forced labor.
It's up there with fucking drug trafficking. So, I mean, so I've been paying attention to this, not only because of what the abuse I suffered as a child at the hands of older people, but also, you know, this woman who used to go to this bhakti yoga temple ashram with me had two daughters and they were trafficked to Jeffrey Epstein's island, you know, by this woman, Maxwell, who, you know, they would groom these kids using women and say they're going to go to this prestigious school. It's all going to be paid for. They have chaperones. They keep the boys separate from the women. College is going to be paid for, grants, computers, all this stuff. And then they went down there and guess what? They looked for single mothers. They got her out of the ballet school in New York. And they looked for single parents or kids that have family problems and they focused in on them. And that's what they did. You know, she's a single mother trying to raise two kids. And, you know, basically she made custom jewelry that she sold in the streets in Soho. She had a table and she made enough, everything went to her children, to the ballet school, to whatever. So like, you know, to hear like, oh, wow, they're going to do, and some of the, you know, the scientists from all over the world come to this school and talking about global warming. And it's just an amazing education they're going to receive. Well, they went down there and they fucking disappeared for almost 7 years.
Oh, geez.
And one of them was coming out of Prince Philip's apartment, that photo that ended up on the Sun, or the UK Mirror or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That was her fucking daughter at 16 years old. They were trafficking that. They trafficked these kids to dignitaries and flew them on private planes all over the fucking world and drugged these kids and brainwashed these kids. She had a nervous breakdown because she's like, I remember when it was happening. She's like, my kids won't talk to me anymore. I don't know what's going on and all this stuff. And it was like, you know, it was a horrible situation. So to me, I got skin in the game, man, you know. So I'm like, you know, what's, you know, and it's being, you're not seeing these stories. They just got like, I think 34 children were rescued in Georgia and all this stuff. The media does not, you know, does not
see
any of this stuff on mainstream media. You know, you got to look on websites for ABC News or whatever. They're not broadcasting these stories of this horrible stuff. And there's been people in Hollywood that have been saying this for years, that pedophile cults exist and all this stuff.
Well, Corey Haim came out with it, didn't he?
Corey Haim's dead. Corey.
What's the other guy?
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a second because I have his number. I'm actually friends with him because We did a vegan, we did a vegan thing together in Corey Feldman.
Feldman, there it is, yes.
Yeah, and yeah. We did a vegan thing together at this dinner and had a discussion in L.A. I don't know, this was probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And he saw the Cro-Mags play before, so, we became friends, and he's been trying to warn people about all this stuff that's going on for years. Yeah. I mean, I know there's also a lot of wild conspiracy theory shit out there too, and whatever the fuck, but
right.
I pay attention to what I know is going down and stories that are substantiated by hard evidence. And there's no denying, you know, right now there's 800,000 children missing in America. I'm sure some of those are runaways, but a lot of those are not. A lot of those kids got fucking snatched, man.
Yeah. Well, just to read off a couple of stats, in 2012, there was 21 million victims trapped in modern day slavery, right? 68 were exploited for labor, 22 for sexually exploited, and then 10% were in state imposed forced labor. And just to blow your mind, I was driving home from my work yesterday and I was talking to a principal. And he came across a couple that came in. She was a freshman. She was getting enrolled to a high school, and her husband, so mind you again, freshman husband, was enrolling her into this. And he just kind of looked
freshman
like
freshman in college or high school.
High school.
So
high
how
school.
Old was that? 15.
That's 15. 15 years old. So you have a 15-year-old girl enrolling into
it.
He was, I want to say, 25, 26.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was really interesting when I was talking to him. I was like, so what'd you do? He goes, well, we kind of looked into it. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, and it's known in some parts of the world where they marry off or whatever. And you talked about the mainstream media and even going back to like these, you know, first day marriage at first sight or whatever, you know, all these things. It's like these arranged marriages are just, it's just crazy. But, you know, going back to that, she was 15, she was enrolling. Her husband was enrolling her into class. And they just kind of talked a little bit about it, got the SRO involved. And then the next day, bugged out, gone. And I was just like, in fucking tiny little Idaho, we have this. And it's just, it's right under our noses.
It's happening. It's happening in New York, in big cities, small cities, everywhere, not just in America, but across the fucking globe. Like,
yep.
I
human
urge
trafficking.
Everybody to follow Tim Ballard, B-A-L-L-A-R-D, Our Rescue. And, you know, because he's on the front lines of this shit.
Yeah.
And he's tracking these fucking people down doing this. I mean, if you go on the on their website and everything, how many people kids were rescued to this day? They're doing great work. They work with local law enforcement to make it happen. And you got a lot of very skilled people with amazing skill sets, and they're utilizing those skill sets to do good. You know, my friend's a good person. Like, you know, he's done 20 years in the SEALs, and he's like, I want to be able to take that skill set and use that and volunteer for something good. I'm always going to be able to get security work because everybody wants these guys, as, you know, whether you're working, protecting a CEO going overseas or whatever, but he wants to allocate some of his time to helped Tim Ballard as well. And
right.
There's a lot of these guys that are doing this now. So it's a great, I got a 105-pound pit bull, and I told him, listen, man, if you ever need a dog to rip somebody's fucking face off, give me a call. Cause my dog Bear would gladly fucking do it.
It's crazy. And like I said, just looking at some of these other stats, you know, 22,000 victims identified just in the last 2019. You know, victims and survivors identified by trafficking from sex trafficking, 14,000. So it's a 19 increase from the 2018 to 2019. It's just amazing. And, you know, the age that just grosses me out. And like, you know, as an educator, and that's what I want to get from you is what can we do? You know, regular Joe Schmo educator like me, I looked up, I joined, you know, Youth for Human Rights, and I'm promoting that and trying to get, you know, understanding and identifications and how to identify, you know, human trafficking and sex trafficking. But what are some other things that we can do as people to help these people that are trapped, that are don't have any resources.
I mean, you know, especially in rural parts, they have to move these kids around. So if you see, you know, you have to pay attention to your surroundings. That's why I really feel everybody walking around with earbuds in and fucking, like, you know, we're losing sight of paying attention to a lot. Yes. To a lot of these things that are going on around us. And that's, I don't ever walk around with or ride my bike or anything with, like, you know, listening to music or, you know, not paying attention. I have a rule too when I walk down the streets, because shit is getting ill. Yeah. In New York City.
Yeah.
I'm never walking down the street text messaging or any of that shit. I'm paying attention to my surroundings nonstop.
Right.
And I think if we just have more awareness to our surroundings of what's actually going on, who knows? We may witness something. We may witness a child looking distraught in a fucking car as something out of place. We just, you know.
Yeah.
And I forgot the disease that the syndrome they call it, where the person actually identifies with the captor, you know, but.
I want to say, wasn't it like forgotten identity syndrome or something like that?
There's something else, like Patty, what do you call it? The one who joined the Patty Duke, was it, or whatever? She joined the fucking terrorist organization and then, like, robbed banks with them and all that. She claimed that, but
okay.
I forget what the syndrome's called, but
right.
It's... not Patty Duke. I forget the name of the person. She was very wealthy parents and all that stuff. But we just have to pay attention to our surroundings big time. If we work in schools or hospitals or whatever, there's so many signs of abuse. And it doesn't have to be from a trafficker. Maybe it's a parent or a guardian or a mother's boyfriend that's doing something to kids. It's not that we just, you know, we have to pay attention to all child abuse that's going on.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
The other thing is to support the organizations that are actually out there on the front lines, you know, doing stuff, because, you know, they always gave the analogy of a spear, and there's people that's on this tip of the spear that's out there in battle fucking doing it. But the handle of that spear is just as important. So we can support those who are out there on the front lines.
Yeah.
Either by spreading the word or making donations, whatever it is we can do. But
right.
It's just also talking about it and bringing more awareness to the situation, because, like, it's like the story that's not getting told, you know. Yeah. In the mainstream media, you know, they want to just fill us in with, like, Biden said this and Trump denied it and this and that, and, you know, wear a mask and do this and do that and all this other stuff. But there's millions of fucking kids out there, man, that are even getting murdered, man, you know.
So, yeah, it's and, like, you know, when I reached out to you and we were talking about this, I was like, man, you know, I'm pretty uncomfortable, like, you know, I don't know how that's going to look as an educator talking about, you know, sex trafficking and whatnot. But, you know, as you read into it and get more data and more stats and more research and seeing, I mean, like I said, it's happening in our backyards. And
the stigmas are, let's take education, right? You're a teacher. So look what happened with sex education in the 50s and 40s. Nobody talked about it. Then the education came, you know, of all this stuff that went down, and it's like, it's actually protecting the kids.
Yeah.
So to say, like, I'm not going to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. No, we have to talk about uncomfortable situations that are going on, but it's not that. We have to stay within the letter of the law too. In the school system, you know,
a lot of red tape.
Stepping on some fucking toes there, man.
A lot of red tape. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I've always preached, you know, knowledge is power. And what you know, if you're going on a mountain, you're going on a road trip or whatever, you need to know where you're going. You need to know the consequences that you might face. And just like sex education to, you know, any kind of drugs or whatnot, here's the things. If you take this, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to happen to your body. This is what's going to happen to your mind. And so that's the educational piece that I would love nothing more to give to.
I think what you could do too is like just educate the children in terms of like the things that are allowed to be done, like, you know, stranger danger and all this stuff that you know, they have these methods now, and teaching kids to stay together and don't talk to strangers and like, you know, be aware of your surroundings. That's how these kids are getting snatched too, because they're walking around with fucking earbuds and iPods and headphones, and they're fucking and walking down the street playing fucking video games, and some dudes come up, they don't even see them, and snatch them in a fucking van.
Yeah,
the kids have to be aware.
Yeah. And I it's even funny that you even say that, because last week I did a whole lesson on just your surroundings and where you're at. And, you know, I'm in a facility, and so it's in an outpatient facility. And so I have a little bit less, I have like 7 kids in a class, and it's a little bit more free reign. I try to keep it within the scope of, you know, not being so conservative, but, you know, I tell them, it's like, there's always 4 things you can do. Take inventory of what's going around you. Note you have any escape routes. And I try to put them in situations like, hey, you're in an alley. You have this way and this way, you know, just check that. Make sure you know what you're doing. Know your surroundings, like you're saying, and then be conscious, have a buddy system. Hey, I'm going to go meet this guy online. You know, I told him that. I was like, that to me sounds so that's just ludicrous, right? And so, but
never,
if you're
gonna meet anybody online, that's fucking no kid fucking that online shit, man. Oof. I'm gonna go fucking have, you know, he's taking me out to eat, like, that's complete. And that's where these predators are. They're meeting a lot of these kids online and lying and saying they're fucking 16, and then it's a 40-year-old fucking dude showing up.
Right.
I mean, there was a whole show about that, To Catch a Predator.
Yeah. Well, and that's just a naiveness, I think, along with the video games or whatever.
They take advantage of that. Yeah. These are very diabolical, manipulative people that are doing this shit. Yep. They don't just snatch a kid. They sit there and they will, I mean, I'm looking at what Tim says. They will sit there and mark their prey and watch for weeks to see what are your daily activities. What is the best time to grab this kid?
Wow.
These are predators. Wow. And there's a whole method of operation of that they utilize to snatch a kid.
Right.
Most of the time, it's not like, they just saw the opportunity and took it.
Right.
That's like your drunk person. This is a whole... These are fucking operatives, man, that have businesses going, and they have a whole MO, a method of operation to doing this. And they will watch the victims for weeks sometimes to see what the best opportunity is. They know their school schedule, if their mother works, when they're alone in the house, where do they walk? What do they do? Who are their friends? Like, these people are just sick. They're diabolical, man. Yeah. They're evil. And, you know, that's why it's also good to, you know, change your roots home and don't always do the same thing all the time. You know, I actually wrote this manual about surviving on the streets of New York. And I took the tips that the cops, my friends who are cops, told me that measures and that women can take on the streets to not be not just abducted, but say sexually attacked or robbed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the main things was awareness of who's around you and awareness of your situation. Take the fucking earbuds out, stop texting and going on Instagram, walking down the fucking street, pay attention,
right?
Change, you know, change the way you walk sometimes home. And
And I think those are the things that, you know, the school of hard knocks that you're, where you're from, it's that's what this generation, you know, I'm Generation X, you're a boomer, right? I've been taught by you guys to kind of, you know, challenge the system or whatever. And so I'm trying to do that, but I'm also trying
that. It's like, we had a saying on the streets of New York, and when something was about to go down, you know, and we knew some shit was about to go down, we would go SOA, SOA.
Yeah.
That means state of alert. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could cost you your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, I'm born in 1962, but guess what? I've been on the fucking streets and still dealing with modern culture even through this day. I didn't like go off to the suburbs and have 2.3 fucking kids and cars and all this bullshit.
Right.
And, you know, then have a midlife crisis down the road. I've been involved in the fucking street culture and the music and the arts. I never left.
Yeah.
So I've seen this whole shit evolve.
Yeah.
And
well, that
street
would be
safety is fucking number one, man. And yeah. I tell my girl all the time too. And like, you know, like it's you have to be fucking aware, man. You yeah. have to fucking pay attention. You have to be aware. You have to watch who's around you.
Yeah.
For kids, especially, you know, I saw this shit the other day, and it was like this fucking kid was walking home. It was after school, and they had the big headphones on, and the kid was walking down the street just like on a fucking desolate street and yeah. just playing a fucking video game with the headphones and like just not even looking like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the problem, man.
Yeah. Well, and I know that there's been some, I've seen some YouTube videos where it was a setup, like you said, it was all in a learning where these guys actually abduct a kid from a playground.
It happens. It happens like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they totally
go down when yeah. they're done stalking their prey.
Yep. Yeah.
It happens like that.
It's amazing though. They had a parent in a park. Parent just set kid down to go play, and then parent literally just turned around, right? And then these people, and they planned it, right? They got, and they took the kid away, like, hey, come with me, like. And the kid was so, you know, kids are so innocent. That's the thing, kids
they're
are gonna
naive,
do.
They're trusting.
Yeah,
it's like
they're creative. They want to go forward.
Doesn't ingrain in them the danger that's out there.
Yeah, crazy
like
world out there.
Kids will yell, danger, danger, stranger danger. Like parents right. that teach their kids, like. I'm, yeah. you know, what do they say? Run and tell. That's the main thing. Get yeah. the fuck away and tell somebody, man, yep. right away. Yep. Because if he didn't get you, he's out there. These people don't stop. If they miss one mark, they'll fucking turn around and grab somebody else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where, you know, I'm hoping that from this podcast, we can really give that information out, get that, you know, get any kind of knowledge out, get even just awareness.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I went over. I apologize, man.
Don't worry about it, man. Cool.
God bless you, man.
Hey,
you
man, God
are.
God bless you too, bro. Keep doing the good work, man. Pay yeah. it forward. That's my teachers. When I asked them, how do I pay this back? They said, it's impossible. Pay it forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
You my, never mine... pay back the gifts, but you just pay it forward. Help the next people.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, there's somebody else out there that needs the wisdom that you just gained with your health and mental health and sobriety and everything else. So
yeah,
that's how we help each other, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Service to others. But John Joseph.
Peace from New York.
Have a good day, brother.
Hey, peace and veggie grease.
I love it. All right, man. Thank you so much. Have a good day. See ya. I want to thank John Joseph for taking the time for joining us today on the Running Educator Podcast. You can check out his website at www.johnjosephnyc.com. Also, check out his books that you can find on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. I would follow him on Instagram at johnjosephcromag and Twitter at jjcromag. I will have a link with all the resources that I used in today's episode in the podcast description of this show. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Running Educator Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share this. I appreciate all you do, and I hope you have a great day.